Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, beginning at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Let's pray together, would you please? Father, thank you for today and the opportunity that we have to be here, the health, the freedoms, to be able to meet and worship you and grow in grace. And Father, if the need be this morning, to trust Christ as our Savior. Now, God, we'd pray you'd work in our hearts today. Accomplish all that I prayed for. But, Father, for that to be accomplished, I know and we know that thy Holy Spirit must have freedom and liberty to work. Please empower Pastor Johnson as he comes. Use him. Help us today. We're needy people. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, we're going to ask you now to make sure your cell phones are turned off or to vibrate. If your phone goes off and we hear it during the service, when you get home, all those clunkers people have been turning in are going to be sitting in your driveway, okay? So help us with that today. We would appreciate that very, very much. I'm going to ask you now that you sit real still and listen real carefully, please, if you would. We believe that the Bible has the answers for every issue we face in life. Let me say it one more time. We believe that the Bible has the answers for every issue we face in life. Everything. Now I want you to listen very carefully this morning. See, for a lot of people, the Bible is an answer. Well, there's the Bible, and then they put the Bible along with other stuff. Well, there's what Bible says, there's what science says, there's what the Bible says, there's what philosophers say, there's what the Bible says, and for a lot of people, there's what the Bible says, and there's what I think. But for people of faith, Psalm 119, 105, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In those days, biblical days, they didn't go out at night, hardly at all. A lot of countries we've been to, Africa and places like that, the malaria, the insects, the mosquitoes that bring the malaria come out at night. So they don't go out at night. They just don't get around in the evenings at all. In those days, biblical days, they didn't get out at night. There was no street lights. So for them to go somewhere at night, they had to take a little oil lamp with them. Little bitty handheld oil lamp. And it would illuminate just enough of their path to take a step and just enough of their way to let them know where they were going. It was a lamp to their feet, and it was a light to their path, that little lamp that they held. So when Psalm 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, people of faith use this Bible like we're walking through a darkened life in a darkened world. And the Bible is going to illuminate our next step. And the Bible is going to illuminate our path. And we're going to use it like somebody walking in the dark who's got just enough light to take a step. And that's not a floodlight to show you everything around you. It's not a spotlight that shows you down the road, though there's a lot of good prophecy in Scripture. But this book for people of faith isn't just an answer. It's the answer. It's the Word of God. And it's God's answer for all the issues of life. Because we also believe this. This is not a book written by man. It's not man's thoughts with God's ideas in it. All of it is the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, the Bible says. It's all the book now. So to us, every issue of life that comes to us, everything that we face, we're looking for Bible answers for this thing. What does the Bible say I should do here? How should I follow the Word of God in this? You say, well, that's okay for people of faith. But you know, in this day and age, there's so much information available today. My goodness, you just You Google something now and you can get stuff from anybody, anywhere, any place, anytime, from any four corners of the earth. You can learn about religions and philosophies and ideas and thoughts and ideas. You can get stuff from anywhere, everywhere. And after all, the Bible's all right. But frankly, Pastor Johnson, I mean, in this day and age, to just have that kind of faith in the Bible, you must be crazy. I would say to you this morning, you're the one who's crazy, not me. Look at me, folks. You're looking at an old hippie from the 60s. Actually, I was a young hippie in the 60s. And I grew up in the philosophy, the idea every man marches the beat of a different drummer, Henry David Thoreau, and that everybody does their own thing, and we follow our own mind, and we do whatever we want to do, and whatever felt good, we did it, and whatever smoked, we smoked it, and whatever we wanted, we did it. And that wasn't me necessarily, but the truth is, we followed these things in life, and we followed our own way to do our own things. It just about wrecked this country. Just about wrecked it because we chucked out principles upon which this nation had been built and lived by for a long time. And many of us, when we were younger, we've just decided we know better than God. The Bible has the answers for every issue we face in life. I don't know as this will become a series of messages. It may be just this today. But I want to show you and give you biblical answers to the issues of life. Now, here's how you can take it this morning. You can either take it as an answer given to you by a pastor in a church and get up and walk out of here and do what you want to and go figure it out on your own. Or you can look at the Word of God with me today. And this is not just the only answer, by the way. This is, God has several answers in His Word for the issues we face. But I find the one we just read a moment ago in Galatians chapter 5, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. I find that that's an amazing thing. You know what I find amazing about the Bible? It is so exact. It is so simple. It is so complete. Look here, in two verses, the fruit of the Spirit describes 9 different products or qualities the Holy Spirit will produce in you and through you in your life. And those same 9 qualities will fix every relationship problem you'll ever face. Every one of them. All of them. Not the one. No. All of them. Those same 9 qualities, look at me, will help you face everything you're going to face in your life. Sorrow, loss, victory, failure, accomplishment, gain, heartbreak, joy, all of it, success, everything. It will help you face every, and it will help you face every stage in life, youth, teenage, young adult, middle age, which is now up past 55, middle age, and all those sorts of things. And in September 12th, it's going 56. But the truth is, it'll help us deal with all that stuff. It'll help you deal with every phase in life, every phase you are in life. You see me? You get to become a senior citizen, the fruit of the Spirit will help you deal with those days. There are no stages, issues, situations. There's nothing that's going to come your way. And by the way, the fruit of the Spirit will help you deal with your past. The fruit of the Spirit will help you to live in the present, this day, today. The fruit of the Spirit will prepare you for the future. There are no issues in life that God's Word does not cover and does not handle. And what I love about it is some of these things the Bible presents to us will deal with any issue you face. And this one, right here, the fruit of the Spirit, this one will help you in any area. I was sitting here this morning, I was looking out at you today. Many are guests and visitors with us this morning, so I don't know your story or your situation or what it is that brought you to church today, but many of you, I know you. And I've always told people in this church, you ever fire me, I'm going to write a book and tell everybody all the stuff I know about all the people in this church. Kiss and tell. I won't kiss you, but I'll tell everybody. The truth is, you know, I look out here this morning, there are people in this room who've been told they have just a few months to live. There are people in this room this morning, they lost their job this week. There are people in this room this morning came to church with some unbelievable heartbreaks. We lost one of ours this week. Kay Boland went to heaven this week. There are people in this room, they're doing what most people are doing nowadays. They're just dealing with trying to make the ends, as we used to say. trying to realize that we're almost to the end of the month and we got way too much month at the end of the money. Some of us, it's just the daily things of life. And I think to myself, Lord, how can one pastor stand up and preach one message can help people with all these different needs in their life? We have folks dealing with some sorrows this week and some grief. Had some folks this week got jobs and had some victories and blessings. How could one principle from the Bible, Galatians 5, 22, 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is, how can that one principle deal with every issue of life? Because you have to understand something. The Bible was not written in a time or era. It was given to us in a time and era. But the Bible is eternal. Forever, O Lord, Psalm 119, verse 89, the Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Do you realize that the eternal God who wrote the eternal word of God realized this book would have to fit August the 23rd of 2009? And it wouldn't be locked away in a time or an era or a dispensation. And he realized that this book and the principles of it and what it teaches, it would have to help us face whatever it is we're going to face. And that it would be sufficient for that. And if, and this is the big if on the whole subject, if we will let this book become the lamp for our feet and the light for our path, God will lead us safely home where we need to be. And you'll be prepared for anything, God, anything that comes to your life. Anything. Okay, so we're in the month of August, and it's 8 months into the year now. We're almost done with 8 months of 2009. If you're like me, you're probably still writing 1986 on your checks. Time's going by so fast. You know the truth of the matter is, do you realize, you just think of what happened this 8 months of this year. Could we have imagined those things? God did, and knew. And he said, let me put some principles, some truths in here that can help these dear people with their life. And one of those things, biblical answers that helps us with the issues of life is this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Look at the passage this morning. I'm going to ask you to keep your Bibles open here. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And I want you to look at the end of verse 23, and it says, against such, against the product of the Holy Spirit's controlling our life, against such, there is no law. That statement at the end of verse 23 means nothing can counteract the product that the Holy Spirit will produce in our life. Nothing can stop it. Nothing can keep it from working. Nothing can take it away from you. No law, no law of man, no law of nature, no law of God even himself. His own word will not counteract this product. If the Holy Spirit controls you, the Holy Spirit will produce those things in your life and nothing will be able to stop them. Nothing can take it from you. Nothing can take joy. Nothing can take peace. Nothing can rob you of faith. Nothing can take away your long suffering. Nothing can take away temperance, which means self-control. Nothing can take that from you. Today we think, oh, Pastor Johnson, my past, it's so bad, but the fruit of the Spirit, the Bible says no law can stop that. You may have grown up in a situation where there was no love in your life and no love in your home and no love or care for you whatsoever. The Bible says, you know what? The Bible says if the Holy Spirit controls you, you will love. You will love. And you will love like you're supposed to love. And you'll love with God's love because that's the kind of love that's here. And the fruit of the Spirit will help you to love. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit will bring joy to your life. I understand that joy in the Bible doesn't mean that you laugh all the time and you smile all the time and you're always happy in every situation. Joy in the Bible means a settled, peaceful contentment that everything's going to be okay. That everything is going to be okay. Will that bring a little happiness to your life? Uh-huh. Especially when you face uncertainties. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. Joy is a settled contentment. Everything is going to be all right. Peace means everything is okay in your heart no matter what situation or circumstance you face. See, we think circumstances rob us of our peace. Well, I was having a good day and then You don't live by the circumstances when the fruit of the Spirit controls you. You don't live by conditions. You don't live by circumstances. You don't live by situations. Listen to me. You're not peaceful in one moment and the next minute your life is destroyed. What do they tell us today? Well, my problem, and I hear it all the time. People say, my problem is there's too much stress in my life. Who doesn't have stress? Who doesn't live with some kind of stress? Do you know anybody? I don't know anyone who lives that way. Right? Unless someone's very heavily medicated. Other than that, they have a lot. I don't know anyone who doesn't have to deal with stress in their life. Peace isn't something you get. Peace is something you are and have no matter what. The Bible calls it the peace of God that passeth all understanding, that'll keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4. That's another principle we'll look at someday here. Look at me. That's just 3 of the 9. We don't want to run through the list very quickly, but I want you to notice something. Then he talks about long suffering. Say, what does that mean? Ability to suffer long. Ability to put up with a lot of stuff. Ability to deal with the fact that after one thing comes, sometimes something comes right behind that. Sometimes they just start piling up on top of you. I just think I'm going to fall under the weight, Pastor Johnson. The Bible says long suffering. You have the ability. Jesus said, come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. And Jesus gets in the harness of life with you and he picks it up and helps you. Doesn't carry it for you, but he carries it with you. And I guarantee you, he carries more than you do. That's long suffering. There's a gentleness that's there. We live in a violent world today. People mad all the time. Crazy, doing unbelievable things. Just because someone got in front of them. Just because someone turned the wrong direction. And just lose control in a world that is exceedingly angry. God gives you a gentle spirit. Ooh. Goodness, that's right. Ability to be a do-gooder. Faith, the ability to honor God and His Word. That means, look here, you have confidence in your God. I'm not waiting on the bailout check. I got a God in heaven who's going to take care of me. Fruit of the Spirit is meekness. Meekness simply means humility. I guarantee you somewhere in the message today you're going to find out who has meekness in this room and who doesn't. Because people without meekness are proud, stubborn. Yeah, go ahead, preacher. Try me. Give me a shot. You didn't get that from the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is meekness, an attitude of humility. The last one is temperance. The fruit of the Spirit is temperance. That means self-control. While the world loses it, we don't. While the world goes, what in the world is all this? We don't do that. Fruit of the Spirit, no. Fruit of the Spirit keeps you in control. You're in control of your habits and your passions and your temper and your attitude and your actions. Your spirit is under the control of the Holy Spirit and He is a joyful spirit. Hey, you don't walk around your whole life, Mr. Conspiratorial. Did you see what happened? They're going to give us shots and those shots are going to put a little CIA plant in our brains. And the next thing you know, we're all going to be mind controlled by a laser robot that's up in the sky. Oh, come on, dude. You need to get the Bible. You're scary, dude. You are one scary dude. You understand that? You need to get that straightened out in your mind. Self-control. While the world panics, doesn't know what in the world's going on. What are we going to do? Where are we coming from? Fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Mm-hmm. See, well, Pastor Johnson, where do we go get some of that fruit of the Spirit? See, the point isn't that you get it. The point is that you have it. It doesn't say in those verses, and I'll show you in the next verses how you get it, but the truth of the matter is you don't go get the fruit of the Spirit. The truth of the matter is you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. The fruit of the Spirit is, how do we get this Holy Spirit control of our life? First of all, you have to belong to Christ. Look at verse 24 of Galatians 5. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. The product of the Holy Spirit comes from the indwelling person of the Holy Spirit. When you accept Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. And He stays there. Never leaves. Never. You can grieve Him. You can quench His working. But His presence stays in your life. But you got to have Christ to have that. In other words, you have to have salvation. Not baptism, salvation. Not church membership, salvation. You have to come to Christ and accept Him as your personal Savior. Then the Spirit of God, the Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. When the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, you now have His indwelling person and His indwelling presence in your life. Now you have the tree, if you want to call it that, that can produce the fruit, but that comes at salvation. See, we got people today, they look at the things of the Christian life and they say, I don't want the inconvenience of the Christian life. You know, I'll show up on a Sunday morning, pop in and out, you know, when I feel like it kind of stuff. That's okay. And, you know, the songs are good and, you know, this stuff is all right. They want to reach into the Christian life and they want to pull out, I want some of that love and peace and joy and gentleness and meekness and faith and temperance. I want to reach in and pull out some of that because, boy, I'll tell you what, I'm going through some things in my life. I could use a little peace right now. And they want to pull the peace out. Well, the peace comes from the product that comes from the person, and salvation's first. Forget this idea that somehow or another by hanging around church, you're going to pick it up by osmosis. You want peace? Don't you get in the parking lot of Shasta Baptist Church when church is over this morning and hang around. You get between these people and Hometown Buffet, you're in serious trouble. Don't hang around the driveways and don't stand out by your car. Get in the car and drive off. That'd be very wise this morning. You want to talk about peace isn't something you pick up because you hang around someone who's peaceful. These religions where they go and they wear the pajamas, you know, and shave their head and play tambourines in the airports and then they sit and then they just meditate, drink tea, and stare off into space. Like somehow or another that brings peace. Look, I used to, the old hippie from the 60s, I tried transcendental meditation once. I got with a guy who understood what to do and he set me up with a mantra and the whole bit, and this was not when I was right with God, obviously, and tried the meditation routine. He says, you sit there. You clear your mind of everything, which doesn't take a man very long at all. You ladies are more complex than we are. For a man, watch. My mind is now clear. And he says you begin to chant this one or two syllable mantra to yourself, first audibly and then quietly, and then you internalize it. And as you chant that to yourself, you just kind of let your mind go. Now, a man can do that very well also. Some of you guys, you're still not here. Church is two-thirds of the way over, and you're still not in the room. You're physically here. The lights are on. Ain't nobody home. You're trying to remember if you set the DVR so you can watch the preseason football before you get home, and you're panicking over whether or not the wife got the crock pot down low enough so she didn't burn the... Anyway, so you're... And you start chanting this stuff. And as you chant it, he says it's like the iceberg in the ocean. The small part is what you can see, but the deep part, that's your subconscious. It's down here, and you'll go down in that subconscious. I thought, well, okay, whatever. I said, well, you know, there's some chemicals that do that for you for nothing. But anyway, I got to think. I said, all right, so I tried it. I got some of the best naps I've ever had in my life. You know, you light a candle, put a little incense on. Guy come in an hour later. How was it? Wow, it was good. It was deep, bro. It was deep. Very deep. I went way down in that iceberg. Way down there. Yeah. Feel great. How do you feel? Wonderful. Always feel good after a nap. I didn't go anywhere. I didn't get anything. And I didn't pick up any peace by accident either. See, I was just, look at me. I was trying to find the answer my way instead of God's way. It starts with salvation. You have to belong to Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is not purchased at a fruit stand. You don't pick it up at a church stand. You don't get it because you listen to this, read that, get this. It comes from inside where the Holy Spirit lives because you got saved. Now settle it, friend. Get biblical salvation right. Biblical salvation is I am a sinner. Jesus is the Savior. Not a Savior, the Savior. I trust Jesus' payment to save me from hell. I ask Him to save me and He does. That's Bible salvation. No more, no less. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You settle salvation biblically or you don't get saved. And if you don't get saved, the Spirit of God doesn't come to live and you can't have the fruit of the Spirit. Just doesn't work. Driving home yesterday, I was preaching down in the Bay Area and or in the Valley area, actually, when they're driving home and stop there at Dunnigan to get some gasoline, and there have been guys set up there with their fruit stands. Ooh. And there was two big black guys there with truckfuls of watermelons. And even had signs painted all over it. Abraham's watermelons. I went over there, I said, how much for watermelons? He said, $5. I said, sold. I got me a watermelon about that big, probably weighs about 30 pounds, heavy with sweet juices. That thing's been in the refrigerator cooling off. Tonight when I go home from church after preaching, I preach Wednesday, I preach Thursday, I preach Friday, I preach Saturday, I preach three times today. I go home tonight, I'll be tired, I'll cut me a slab of that frosty, cold, red, juicy watermelon. And I'll poke me a bunch of that and stick it in my mouth and bite that, and the juices will run down my parched throat. And I'll sit there and think, ah, thank God for Brother Abraham and his watermelons. Lord, keep that man in business and help him in Dunnigan next time I'm going through town. But I could go there and buy me a watermelon. But you're not getting the fruit of the Spirit because you hang around religion. You have to have salvation. Then when the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, friend, you have the potential for the fruit of the Spirit. Still not automatic. Look at verse number now. Look at verse number 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit. Why does it say but? Because of the verses before. Verse 19, but now the works of the flesh. Inside of you this morning, if you are a saved person, is the product of the work of the flesh. That is a carnal nature that is exactly opposite of the spiritual nature you received at salvation. That work of the flesh, look, it's awful. Murder and fornication and idolatry and anger, just wicked stuff. You have that in you. So do I. Work of the flesh. Over here, fruit of the Spirit. The only way that that fruit can come forth is I've got to stop working on this flesh over here. Got to stop living by the fleshly stuff. Flesh is selfishness. Flesh is self-centered. Flesh is me, 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 my, mine. That's what the flesh is. Flesh is living by your passions. Flesh is living by my own set of morals instead of God's set of morals. Flesh is doing it my way instead of God's way. That's flesh, because flesh is selfish. Flesh gives me what I want. Flesh says you live for yourself, you'll get everything you want in life. And you'll get more than you ever planned on. You'll get stuff you never wish you had. And you cannot have the fruit of the Holy Spirit when you keep watering the works of the flesh in your life. Doesn't work. Can't have carnal fleshly junk. Can't keep doing the things of the flesh and things that are about my passions and things that are about my desires and things about my wants. You can't get it that way. The fruit of the Spirit will not come when I live by the works of the flesh in my life. So look at me. Christian, do you understand? You have the potential for this product that's amazing. That'll counteract anything you face in life. And you're killing off the product because you're working on the flesh instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to control you. Now, I'm sorry. Look at me. You can go to these religions that'll give you all the fleshly stuff you want. A little entertainment, a little sing-song, a little fooling around, a little goofing off. They'll give you the music that's fleshly. They'll give you the entertainment that's fleshly. Man, they'll never talk about sin, for goodness sakes. Who wants to mess up your Sunday with talking about stuff like that? And they'll just give you the fleshly stuff all you want. Guess what? You don't get the product of the Holy Spirit then. That's why these churches that are just interested in entertaining people instead of exhorting them to live the way God would want them to, they're robbing them of the real blessing of the Christian life. That's wrong. You can't live by the flesh, friend. You can't live an immoral life. You can't live an ungodly life. You can't live a life that's about you and nobody else but you and expect the Holy Spirit to have a product that brings you love and joy and peace. It doesn't work like that. You get the product. The Bible said, look at Galatians 5:24 quickly. It says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and love. Do you know who they crucified? Enemies. The Romans used it when they brought a country or nation or a city under subjection. They would crucify the leadership. They conquer a city or conquer a land, they crucified the king in front of their people. Whenever they would conquer a city or a nation, they would take the leadership, and in many times, many places, they would literally line the road for miles going to the capital city with all of the leadership and crucify them on crosses. Thousands sometimes. 33,000 people were crucified during the lifetime of Jesus Christ by the Roman government. Crucifixion was what you did to an enemy. When the Bible says to crucify your flesh, it means you treat that fleshly nature like it's your enemy. It's not my friend, it's my enemy. It's not someone I want to fool around with. It's my enemy. It's not someone I want to make a deal with. It's my enemy. I don't send an emissary to the flesh. I don't give time to the flesh, because when you do, the Spirit of God is hindered in what he can do, and the flesh takes over. But not if you crucify it. It'll never go away, and it'll stay with you for the rest of your life. But friend, look at me. What kind of music do you listen to? What do you watch and look at with your eyes? What do you take in through the eye gate and the ear gate and allow into your heart and your life? What do you do with these hands? Where do you go with those feet? What is your life? Is it all fleshly? And then you wonder why you don't have any product of the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit, this fruit of the Spirit comes when the Bible says, and we finish here, look, Galatians chapter 5, look at verse number 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Not run, walk. Walk's one of those basic things we do. You know, you take a baby, an infant, you spend the first year or so of their life teaching them how to walk and talk. And you spend the rest of your life teaching them how to shut up and sit down. But anyway, you take that first year, right, and you get them with the walk thing. You don't just go over to them and say, "Start walking, kid!" You have to take them by the hand and you hold them up. And they do the little wobbly leg thing like that. And then you kind of walk them a little bit. And then they learn to stand a little bit. And then they start to walk. It's a process, isn't it? But once they get the walk thing down, they pretty much get it down after that. When you're walking, look at me. When you're walking along the street, you don't think, okay, left foot, right foot. Left foot, right foot. Left foot, right foot. Well, some of us do, but we won't go into why that happens. But left foot, right foot. Raise your left foot. Raise your right foot. Left foot. After you get it down, you can walk without even thinking about it. Okay, walking in the Spirit means you start out a little wobbly-legged. You kind of get the hang of it a little bit. You give it some time. You work at the Word of God controlling your life. You read it. You spend time in it. You begin to take your walk with the Holy Spirit by taking your walk through the Word of God. And as you walk, after a while, it doesn't become automatic, but it becomes more of a nature to you than the fleshly one, because you walk in the Spirit. That's why you can't put the things of God aside. Have one of these Christianities where God is at church on Sunday and God shows up at church on Sunday and you show up and you meet God and you meet God at church on Sunday, and then the Monday through Saturday it's pretty much about you and God isn't in the middle of it. That's not walking. That means, friend, we're going to walk out of this building by the grace of God today and walk to our cars and get in our homes and walk to the refrigerator, hallelujah, and do all that kind of stuff. We're going to take a walk. It's a part of our life. It's a daily part. I guarantee you, unless God has taken your legs from you, my friend, some way you walk every day of your life, don't you? That's walking in the Spirit. Every day of my life, look, I allow the Spirit of God to control me by this book, and I put the Bible in my walk of my life. And when I do that, the Spirit of God who wrote the book controls me, and he produces love and joy. I don't have to work at being loving. I have to work at walking with God. God will help me to love. I don't have to work at getting peace. Well, I burn candles and incense, and I got fans going, and I got, you know, video screen pictures. I tell people, I used to, you know, when a staff member years ago, I liked that music background stuff going on, you know, the birds singing and the ocean roaring and the stream trickling down, those sound effects in the back while I was reading his Bible. I tried that. I just went to the bathroom all the time. I couldn't get anything done. It's just too distracting to me. And go to this place, you'd have candles and incense going. I said, man, is this a seance? Are we reading the Bible? What in the world is this place? I can't do that. Too many distractions in my life. I have a hard time going up and sitting in the woods and reading the Bible. I see deer running by and think, I'm going to shoot that thing. And then birds flying and stuff. I can't do that. I like just kind of get along with God, get my Bible out and read it. But I'm going to tell you something. You walk in the Spirit. You allow daily the Holy Spirit to control you. And he, not you, he produces love. Enjoy. So if you grew up without a loving home and family, guess what? You can be a very loving person, because the Spirit of God will produce that in you. Things keep stealing your joy from you. That's because you got your joy from the wrong source. You get your joy from your walk with God. No one takes that from you. That's there, even in the midst of all of it. Friend, the Bible has the answer for every issue we face. And one of those great answers is, but the fruit of the Spirit is. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning, would you?